For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, yo.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
It's Patrick O'Dowd.
You straight punk bitch!
I mean, you're just gonna replace me.
Shut up!
Brenda Morales,
the biggest slut in the Western Hemisphere!
Why do I have to have a buzzer?
And Greg DeMarco.
You are now and will forever be an asshole.
Because it's my show.
And I love you, Greg.
You guys know how to party.
You're welcome.
What is up? It has been a while. It's been too long. So it's been a month since Patrick O'Dowd and I have come together and done the podcast here on the Greg DeMarco Show. It's been 3 weeks since I've done any podcasting because I did a hashtag Miranda show the week after the typical post IZW show. And then there's been no podcasting for lots of different reasons. All good. Life gets busy this time of year, you know? Even last weekend, like last week, I could have done both and I was at a soccer season now. So yeah, it's craziness, but here we are. It is Tuesday, December the 5th. December is upon us, which means, you know, well, I mean, we've had Christmas music for like a month now, but yeah, it's the holiday season. So lots of exciting things going on in the world of sports, in the world of pro wrestling, and so much more. And we're going to talk about it all. We, of course, being myself and Patrick O'Dowd, the Wrestling Realist, you know where to find him at Wrestling Realist. That's WrestlingRealist. There's no I in wrestling, but there is one in realist, and there is one in Patrick, and there is one in friend for the best friend, the Wrestling Realist. Trying to pronounce it properly without the I, it doesn't really work. Patrick O'Dowd, go follow him on Twitter. Be a real follower of Patrick O'Dowd because he needs all the real followers that he can get. Patrick,
no,
follow
I'm
me
fine.
At Greg DeMarco 44. You're fine.
I'm fine. I don't need more. I got 482 followers, most of them fake.
Yeah, remember when you crossed 500 for the first time?
Yeah, I will say this, big thanks to Reese Bartoldus.
Of course.
Following me. Reese.
Good job, Reese.
Milani Cartan.
Oh, I know her, yeah.
Oh, that's a real person?
No, I'm kidding.
Ellie Reinemann.
Good one, Ellie.
Jason Howe?
He's real. He's on the Mindless Wrestling Podcast.
I added Jason not too long ago because
there you go.
We were conversing at the chair shot DM.
There you go.
By the way, you mentioned holiday music. I hope we can, like, I did a holiday music 5x5 with Aesop Mitchell that hasn't posted yet because of problems.
Was it supposed to go up?
Well,
it wasn't going up today because I know which one didn't go up today. Well, it went up on the Red Circle, didn't go up on the website because their website seems to, I don't know where anything is.
Yeah, so the website went sideways. It was supposed to, so what happened was, recorded this podcast, had sent it over to my co-host because he was going to do some editing
okay.
to insert non-copyrighted material, totally not copyrighted material.
That's what we do here.
And then it just things fell apart, so I couldn't get the recording, the unedited recording, over to our good volunteer poster PC Tunney in time. So he made an executive decision and posted something different. So there is a 5x5 that will be coming involving the 5 best and 5 worst holiday tunes of all time, according to myself and Aesop Mitchell. The question is when.
And if there's even a website, like, holy shit. Like,
yeah, it's a mess.
When you go in and look at like the posts, it says there aren't any. So I don't really know what's going on.
Yeah, I got a picture of a screen. I was shown a screenshot of, you know, said PC Tunney trying to post the show, and he was like, something's wrong.
Yeah, something's very wrong.
Like that.
I'm looking at alternatives if this thing doesn't come back. Like, I'm like, Mitchell is going to send me his NXT review because I'm already working on a backup plan. So yeah, things could look very different in a couple
weeks.
That's
a lot of content that we've put out that I hope. I know the Red Circle stuff is good. Like, we'll have
there's well over 2,000 podcasts that I imported from Red Circle to somewhere else today. Not imported, but just brought them over as articles on a backup thing that I'm working on. The chair shot itself had like 12,000 articles in it.
Right. Not where I thought we would start this show today, but I do.
No, that's okay though. I did want to tell you, because we're finally doing, well, I say that now, but you just never know how things are going to go. We are finally doing the Wrestling Man Crushes as the list this week. Do you remember what the last list even was? Because we didn't do a list the last couple times we've done the show, because we didn't have time. Because remember, we did the Wrestling News Gauntlet, and
yeah, you know, we've done that. I might, because I put my selections on my notes.
Okay.
Let's see. I have, I deleted it. The last one I have is from September when we did terrible wrestling names, which is mine, because I still only have one terrible wrestling name left. You know what it is?
What is it?
Cruel, spelled K-R-U-L-E.
Well, he was on the list.
I put him on the list because
he was the second person on the list overall, because Dolph Ziggler was number one. Here's the crazy thing. So that was in September. That was the second to last list we did. So since September, we've only done one list, and the only other list was dead wrestlers.
Oh, yeah.
Where you put Nick Bockwinkel number one, and I put Brian Pillman number two. Old Nick actually ended up coming in number four.
What was the criteria? Because there was something specific.
There was. I want to say it was like dead wrestlers. We wanted to. I don't know, because,
like, who?
I don't know, because China was on the list and she was a WWE name. So here's a list of dead wrestlers. Number one, Gino Hernandez. Number two, Gorgeous George. Number three, Brian Pillman. Number four, Nick Bockwinkel. You always got to say it like that too. Like, I always say WRESTLNG. You always got to say Nick Bockwinkel. Number five, China. And number six was David Von Erich. That was a list of dead wrestlers.
It's got to have been like a what could have been. No, because Gorgeous George was.
Yeah, and China. I think it was just dead wrestlers. But there had to have been something else.
I would look in the text archives, because I know we set parameters to this thing.
We always set parameters. We're not today, but we always set parameters. And then terrible wrestling names.
Hold on a sec. What you sent me is horrifying, but okay.
Well, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that for the 3-minute warning.
We haven't had a chance to talk about Daryl Hall suing John Oates.
I know. Well, like, we texted about it.
The Lionel Richie Funko Pop?
I know. You know, I've told you before, but we literally have the Funko distribution center. I don't think it's factory. I just think it's the distribution center out here. Huh. So I thought about breaking in and just seeing what's in. But it's just a bunch of little boxes. Yeah. Who knows? But let's talk about a topic.
It's time!
So here's what I want to talk about first, Patrick O'Dowd. I know you're looking forward to talking about it. It set the world on fire. It's a non-wrestling topic, but we're going to talk about it anyway. Because this past Sunday, a group of 13 human beings sat in a room and picked four teams to play for the College Football National Championship. The CFP committee, they put it all together and they came up with four teams. Okay, dead wrestlers who would be amazing today. There you go, Patrick Redown. And they put together four teams. And of course, the four teams, if, in case you're living under a rock, number one is Michigan, number two, Washington, number three, Texas, and number four, Alabama. I'm not just listing off random states. Those are actually the universities who made it to the college football playoffs. And of course, the biggest, who, whatever you want to call it, the loudest vocal reaction is that of Florida State not getting into the college football playoff despite being an undefeated Power Five conference champion. The first time in the history of, don't do that. The first time in the history of
Power Five.
They are. The first time in the history of the college football playoff that an undefeated Power Five conference champion did not make the playoff. So, and you probably know my thoughts because I put them out publicly on Twitter and spent a lot of time in Facebook comments areas that Saturday and Sunday having a lot of fun discussions. And I'll tell you why in a minute. But your thoughts on the teams and the supposed controversy?
There was a controversy either way. Like, Alabama doesn't get in and FSU gets in, then it's just the Alabama fans that are doing what the Florida State thing is doing. My first reaction is that this is the this decision is, as Tom Fornelli on the CBS Cover 3 podcast said, is the final nail in the coffin of the ACC as we know it as a legitimate power conference in college football, because this will probably be what leads Florida State to take their ball and go home. Because, and whether that's right or wrong or however you want to feel, Florida State's been looking for an out all year. So this kind of gives them their reason. I feel bad for the Florida State team because, like, the committee's reasoning, which, and I'm not going to disagree with, like, if you line up the current iteration of the Florida mm-hmm. State Seminoles and put them up against the Alabama Crimson Tide, I think it's closer than people think it would be as a game because Alabama is a little bit overrated offensively, but I still think Alabama probably wins the game and is probably a better team. I think it's disingenuous on the part of the committee to act like the quarterback who was the quarterback during the ACC title game was going to be the quarterback that would be quarterbacking Florida State at a playoff game, because it won't be. The guy who would have been starting or could have started, actually could have gone, but they held him out. You know, if you're a player for Florida State, you feel like you did everything you were supposed to and literally overcame the adversity of losing not only your starting quarterback, but your backup quarterback and one with a third string guy, even if he only threw for 55 yards.
Against an overrated Louisville team, I might add.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm just saying the beef is real. Like, I think you can't argue that they don't have a reason to gripe. I think that the committee probably put, I don't even think the committee put the best four teams in the playoff with what we got. Cause Georgia should, like, if you're really putting in the best four teams, even in losing, Georgia is the best, it's still, in my opinion, the best team in college football. And that bowl game between them and Florida State is going to be the best opt-out game you've ever watched, because nobody's going to play that game. Like, everybody's going to sit out, because why would you? Like, you literally have nothing to play for.
I think Georgia will have more kids play.
No, they got, you're looking at first-round draft picks on both sides of that. They're going to sit out. Florida's defense, maybe Florida plays most of their guys because they feel like they got something to prove.
The returning players, I think, are going to play. Anybody who's declaring or in the portal is not going to play. But anybody returning is going to. That's why whoever played last year, even though he was going to transfer in one of the games, I can't remember who it was now.
Yeah, I can't remember the guy's name, but I remember who you're talking
about. It was super impressive, and he the way he handled it, like, if you're looking for a player to draft, that's something you want to look at. Not a guy who whines and cries and says he needs to have partial ownership in an NFL team who's going to draft him. I'm sorry. I don't care if I was picking seventh and Caleb Williams was still on the board, I wouldn't draft him. Like,
well, he'll be gone by three, I'm sure.
He's not going to pan out. You heard it here. He's not.
No, I don't think so either. I think you look at other quarterbacks like him. He's Patrick Mahomes without the pocket presence.
With a toughness. He's going to get crushed.
It's
not going to work.
Which I will say on a USC team that literally does nothing on the defensive side of the football, to where he has to be the guy every play.
Right.
Like, he's got that going for him. But back to your original question. Yeah, I think Alabama, I don't know. Here's the thing, is Alabama will probably beat Michigan. Right. Because Michigan offensively isn't particularly impressive. And I think that, was it Jalen Milroe? Is that his name? I think he'll do just enough, even though he's not, again, he's not a particularly great quarterback. I think he'll do just enough. And I don't see Michigan's offense, which couldn't score a touchdown on Iowa unless it had a short field. Because Michigan fans are kind of ignoring that part. That Michigan's touchdowns, one was like 10 yards and one was like 15 yards. They were both extraordinarily short fields with an easy punch in. Alabama's defense is every bit the defense that Iowa is, with more talent. So that'll happen. I actually am more intrigued by the 2-3 matchup, because I think Washington as a team hasn't gotten the credit that it deserves, in the sense that everybody is extraordinarily dismissive of a Washington team that has been picked to lose five or six times over the course of this season, and they just keep people.
Depending on where you look, they were 9 or 10 point underdogs.
9 point underdogs
to Oregon, who they'd already beaten. Had beat them beaten on so many metrics, but yet people thought Oregon was going to win. Like, that's just crazy. So there's a lot there. And I'm very big picture, global, like, and you got to remember too, like, I'm an ACC fan because I graduated from Virginia Tech. B, when I was in high school and first started getting into college football, all my friends were Miami fans. So I literally still remember the moment in 10th grade where I was like, you all like Miami. I was like, who's their rival? The Florida State. And the next day I showed up at school with a Florida State hat on. That's how I became a Florida State fan. And through all of high school, like, I remember, like, a friend of mine bought me a Florida State blanket for Christmas one year. And, like, I was the Florida State guy after that. Like I remember having to go out and get an FSU hat. Like, that was the biggest thing. So I was a Florida State fan for the longest time. And it really only waned when they were cleating people when they played Virginia Tech in the national championship game. But so, I mean, I would have loved to have seen them make it into the college football playoff, but outside of Virginia Tech, I could be objective and say that you can't put a different name on that team and have me feel differently. But with Florida State, like, to me, there's a lot of directions I can go and explain. I'll start with this. I don't even think they deserve to be number 5. I think they're number 6 at best in their, like, Georgia should have been ranked 5 and Florida State ranked 6 in the final CFP rankings. Basically, if it was a 6-team playoff, if it was a 5-team playoff and they had like 4 play 5 to get in or whatever, Florida State would have been ranked 6. Like, the committee was not putting them in. Like, it just wasn't going to happen. They ranked them as high as they could rank them without putting them in because they wanted to give them that and toss them that bone. In all honesty, if they were really truly ranking, Florida State's probably 6. Here's the crazy thing, though. And I think the moment Alabama beat Georgia, I literally was like, well, you got to put Alabama in, which means you got to put Texas in. Like, I knew Florida State wasn't going to be in unless they blew out Louisville, like 55-0. And even then, I still don't know.
Right.
Here's the crazy thing. And this is the and I've used this phrase in some comments, explain this to people. Everything is wrestling in the world that we live in. Pro wrestling
don't matter.
Pro wrestling can explain almost everything to people. Subconsciously or not, the people that are putting their list together in the college football playoff, they are looking at the story, right? What's the best story to put together? And if you're going to put in Alabama, you got to put in Texas because Texas beat Alabama in Tuscaloosa. Like, it's just you couldn't put – and they won their conference championship, and so you had to put them in if you were going to put Alabama in. Had Georgia beat Alabama, I honestly, and everything else stayed the same, I honestly think both Georgia and Florida State would be in.
Probably.
I really do think.
I absolutely believe that. And then Florida State would have been boat raced by Georgia in
It would have been the same game. It would have been the same game. And then Washington, Michigan would have been 2-3. The reason why I think they put Florida State in it, because at that point, you would have had the first time ever where you had four undefeated Power Five champions in the college football playoff. And they would have loved that
story. That's a better story, yeah.
And also, once Alabama beat Georgia, it's like, well, shit, you got to put Alabama in, and you can't not put Texas in if you put Alabama in. So, sorry, Florida State. Everybody talked about what? The same saying over and over again. It was the first time an undefeated Power Five conference champion does not get in. First time undefeated. Had Alabama not gotten in, it would have been the first time the SEC champion didn't get in. Like, one of these two things was going to happen. People were just picking and choosing which one they wanted to support. And at the end of the day,
outside of SEC country, most people are tired of the SEC. Like,
then beat them.
Don't get mad. Why are you not?
I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to everybody else that you just talked about. Then beat them.
Well, and here's the funny thing that, you know, two teams will have an opportunity to do so. It cracks me up. Because Alabama fans who are puffing out their chests forget that they nearly lost to a really bad Auburn team, and it took a 31-yard Hail Mary miracle on fourth and 31, which to this day, like, if that doesn't get you fired at Auburn, I don't know what gets you fired at Auburn. Like, that's an inexcusable loss. But that works in their favor. It gets them there.
Right.
The other thing that's really interesting, and we could talk about, you know, you could talk about other things there. I'm stealing from other commentators because I learn from people. But Jay Layman, who is works for the Big Ten Network as a analyst, and then is also, he does a local radio for the University of Illinois, and they were talking about the playoff, and he brought up a point that is often talked about. It's also important to remember that there are six teams, truly six programs, that run college football, and three of them are in the college football playoffs. And he rattled them off. It's Michigan, it's Ohio State, it's Alabama, it's Notre Dame, it's Texas, and it's USC. And Georgia's almost there, but Georgia
and Clemson was there and then kind of fell out.
Well, and he talks about these, like, and there's been other programs who have had a seat at the table for a little bit, but it's never stuck. Miami, he talked about Florida State in the Bowden years. He thinks Georgia will be back, and so Georgia has a chance to be in that echelon. But Georgia, really, it's just been the last couple of years where they've been close. They've won back-to-back national titles. The one that defies explanation to me is Notre Dame, because they're the classic. People overvalue them and are like, Notre Dame back, Notre Dame. But Texas is the same way. Everybody wants, like, we want Texas to be back because these are the villains that we need. These are the heels that we need for college football. Like, all of these teams outside of Washington, I'm telling you right now, there are a ton of new Washington Husky fans currently, because the other three teams are quote unquote villains of college football. And these are the power players. And so he even said, he was like, there was no way that Alabama wasn't getting into the playoff after they won the game. There was no way, right or wrong, however you feel about it, there's no way. I objectively think that they're a better team than Florida State. I think you will get better games with the four teams that you have.
Yes.
I think the big problems. And we won't have to worry about this way next year, because next year there will be 12 teams in the playoff. And so with the 12-team playoff that they're going to be introducing next year, Florida State would have gotten in and nobody would have cared.
They would have been an automatic berth.
And then we're looking at people bitching and moaning about the last at-large team that got in versus the one that didn't get in that should have got in. At the end of the day, when you continue to have these stupid rankings leading into the final reveal, which everybody understands why they do it. It's about the bunny and the ratings. ESPN wants the show. People watch the show, and people are stupid much like wrestling fans, and believe what is presented to them on the show sometimes as if it is a real thing. And so when they see these numbers in these rankings, there are people who genuinely believe that these rankings are a real thing when they're not. They're just not. It's all arbitrary. And as you brought up at the very beginning of this conversation, it's decided by a group of 13 people, half of which are athletic directors, and the others are people who quote unquote know/are friends of the game of college football.
And like, you know what conference had the largest representation in the committee? The ACC.
Right. But they all hate Florida State right now. That's the other thing.
Because like, they want to leave the ACC, yeah.
Because Florida State has made it very clear. Florida State is basically trying to do what Texas did to the Big 12. And the ACC has been trying to fight it.
Well, it's because they got a TV deal through 2036, and the cost to get out is absurd.
Right. Well, Florida State, mark my words, Florida State's days in the ACC are numbered. Like, whatever they got to pay to get out.
The only reason why I think they're not is because of the expansion of the playoff, which is going to happen. Here's the thing about the expansion of the playoff, right? If you had a 6-team playoff this year and Georgia and Florida State get in, Ohio State's going to be pissed because they had one loss.
Actually, I don't know that they would have.
They would have.
Because, let me tell you why. They're still so mad at Ryan Day for losing 3 straight games to Michigan.
Oh, yes, yes.
This is a Midwest guy. I know this area. I've listened to Buckeye fans piss and moan. And believe it or not, it goes beat Michigan, national championship.
Oh, yeah.
Big Ten. And I mean, families have been broken up over Michigan, Ohio State fandom. And so the second, like every Ohio State fan knew, the second they lost to Michigan, they were done. Yeah. That there was nothing on the planet, even if Iowa pulled the miracle of miracles, that they were in.
Yeah, so, it's you're right. You're exactly right. But then there would have been the comparison. Well, who's better?
Right.
You know, who is and better
it's
right
just,
now?
It's the same exercise that you do in basketball every March.
Right.
You know, it's just that basketball is a much easier game on the body and more teams can get in. So you can make it bigger and it's fine.
It's what, 68 teams that get in to the NCAA tournament?
68 teams and it's, yes. And there's always talk of expanding. Like they're
we still focus on the last 4 in and the first 4 out.
Right.
Everyone thinks next year going to 12 is going to be this magical elixir that's going to end this complaining, when it's not, because A, complaining drives ratings. And so ESPN and everybody else needs, and the SEC is now going to ESPN next year. And after, you know, and the, all the heartfelt stuff at the end of the SEC championship game was really cool to see as a viewer who didn't even know they were leaving and going there. Cause I don't follow it that closely, but So that story is always going to be there, and the who, you know, and the who's out and who's in is always going to be what drives lots of ratings. But had you had an 8-team playoff this year, and Liberty got in because they were, you know, the Group of 5 team, that, you know, the highest ranked Group of 5 team that gets in, Oregon's pissed, even though they have 2 losses. Who are their 2 losses to? Washington, the number 2 team in the country, who is in. Like, if you had a 12-team playoff this year, Liberty gets in. Who doesn't get in? Oklahoma, who was number 12 in the CFP, had 2 losses, just like the 3 teams above them. So it wouldn't, having a 12-team playoff this year, it wouldn't have made anybody feel any better. It just would have been a different conference and a different head coach and a different athletic director issuing a public statement. That's all it would have
been. Oh, 1,000%.
And the ACC commissioner had the statement written on Saturday night. Like as soon as Texas beat, or as soon as Alabama beat Georgia, he started writing the statement. And here's the thing. Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner, had a statement ready to go. Guarantee you. Had Alabama not made it. It's because they have to. They have to show the support. The only person whose statement I think was actually in the moment and true to form was Mike Norvell's. I think everybody else's was bullshit and pre-planned ahead of time. I think his was that it is what it is.
Well, he's got to stand up for his guys, right?
Of course he does. That's the problem with these statements is we're in this day and age where everybody knows you're saying this because you have to, not because you want to. Although I think Mark Norvell wanted to. I want to go back to what you said. They did what they had to do, right? Florida State beat everybody who was in front of them. How many other teams have beat everybody who's in front of them and never got a chance to play for something? Like, it just,
I mean, is you, what you it name is. Any, you name any mid-major
exactly
college football program. Like, I get it, Greg. I do. I really do.
So why don't they split off and form their own so they actually have a chance? Like, they're happy with the table scraps of the highest group of five team getting
here's
in.
Here's what's happening in college football. I it's funny. I don't know if you set this up because you do. I talk about it a lot or what your plan was today.
I just knew it was going to be good. That's all that matters.
And you know, this is something like, you know, I'm very passionate about college sports. Like, I could probably add a college sports podcast to the Chairshot Radio Network if I had the inclination or the time or the care to do so. But I have none of those things.
So you just do it with me.
Right. This is where college football is it is very naive to think that this 12 playoff system is going to last very, very long, or 12 team playoff system is going to last very much longer.
I think it will last.
Well, let me tell you why it's not.
Okay.
Or why it's going to last, but why its iteration of what it's looked like is not going to be what it looks like next year. It's because this is a network-driven sport. Right. The NCAA is a joke. It's a joke. It is not a governing body. Never really has been for college football. Its moneymaker is in basketball. It's in the NCAA tournament. That's where they make their most revenue every year. You can see it in their books. There are two conferences currently right now, the Big Ten and the SEC, and both of them are basically becoming the A-tier college football conferences. And we are closer and closer and closer to a system, and more teams are going to join these conferences. Do not listen to either commissioner of the SEC or the Big Ten who says they are not interested in expanding. That's bullshit. They want marquee teams to join. Both of them are salivating for Clemson. They're salivating for Miami, Florida State, Notre Dame. These other marquee programs will be in those two conferences, and eventually we are going to have an extra tier in college football that will be basically the Big Ten and the SEC. And then what we now call Group of Five will become its own entity. We don't know what that's going to look like, but it's going to be those Mountain West teams. It's going to be, you know, those AAC teams, Conference USA, and then FCS, which has had a nice little system going for a long time, is going to continue to run their little playoff system. And we will have at the least three tiers of college football and at least three different national championships.
And it was proposed today.
What?
A member of the NCAA proposed that today.
Oh, the president of the NCAA proposed that today
because
in terms of NIL.
And that's what it all comes down to is money, and I get that, and that's what it is. And it should have been that a long time
ago. But network money. It's network money. Like, the NIL thing is secondary to it. It is really about networks. Yeah. Like, that's why it's so interesting. Like, you were talking about this TV deal. You know, CBS, for reasons unknown to me, other than the SEC really wanted to go to ESPN, like, CBS now has the Big Ten. For a good chunk, though there's this weird Peacock element to the Big Ten, which is fascinating. Like, Peacock, especially with basketball, but that's a whole other animal. You know, the SEC's got its ABC ESPN money. They're going to be there. The Big 12 is desperate. They ended up with Fox, I think, somewhere in there. But like, The networks really drove it. And then the top two sports networks, because CBS is still number two behind ABC/ESPN.
Right.
Like, they both got what they wanted. And then Fox kind of gave the Big 12 something, and they're stuck with Oklahoma State as their most marketable team.
Well, because the Big 12 is, it was funny because I was having dinner with my son today, and we were going through, and I read off the teams, like, who the Big 12 is going to be next year. after Texas and Oklahoma
leave. Conference USA, dude.
It sucks. Yeah, it's terrible.
It's Oklahoma State. It's Kansas State, mm-hmm. Texas Tech, Baylor, Cincinnati. Did Cincinnati join the Big 12?
Houston, UCF.
Yeah. Houston, UCF.
Arizona, Arizona BYU, State, Colorado, Utah, BYU.
BYU in there?
Yeah.
It's this mishmash.
Four lower team. Level Pac-12 team. Yeah. It's basically is and it might be a fun conference.
The Big 12 better hope that Prime figures it out.
That's not gonna happen.
Because if he does, that's the only thing that really keeps them marked. Because that dude had a 4-8 season, and at Sports Illustrated named him College Football Sportsman of the Year.
Yeah, it's
absurd. Like the fuck.
Because they need to sell magazines. That's why, like what we always talk about, the PWI of 500 and 50 and 100 and 200 and all the other lists that they do. They're stupid. I think Chelsea Green and Sonya Deville had four matches together and were in the top 10 of the tag team rankings. So yeah, it's just.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Damage Control was in the top 10 and literally hardly had any matches together too. Like it's just ranking to rank. It is what it is.
Right.
And the Usos weren't on the list because they broke up this year, even though they main evented WrestleMania. I don't know what to say. But no, you're right. Like it's they need to do that. And I think it will become more structured that way as well. Like the SEC's wanted to leave and do their own thing for a long time. The Big Ten's got to be getting to that point right now. You put them together. They now have teams that span the entire country with UCLA and USC going to the Big Ten, like in Oregon and Washington.
That's
like,
32 like, teams right there, dude.
Yeah.
That's 32 teams.
It's perfect. And it's their own NFL. And then, yeah, let the other – and you'll have – like it'll probably grow to 38 or 40 teams because you will have Florida State go and you would eventually have – I could see Oklahoma State eventually going and a Miami eventually going. Like schools will go to that and it'll get up to 36, I bet, at least. But then you look at, you know, outside of the money, like what's to stop your alma mater, not your alma mater, but your beloved Illinois team to be like, you know what, we're going to go to this other league because we can have a chance of winning. It's
well,
there will be teams that also
that
drop.
To happen too. I expect fully that there is going to be a trimming of the fat. Yeah. So Vanderbilt, look out, Illinois.
It'll be like European soccer, except you'll be self-relegating. You won't get relegated by rule. You'll be relegating on your own.
There's been so much stuff floating around about what's going to happen with these giant conferences, and one of the big ones is like. The other good example I've heard recently is Indiana. So Indiana in the Big Ten, they had Michael Penix, which it blows my mind that Michael Penix, who is now going to make a ton of money in the NFL. By the way, you want to talk about a guy who's going to be successful in the NFL?
Absolutely.
Michael Penix is going 100%. To be successful in the NFL. Pocket passing quarterback with a great arm can hit. He's going to
be a winner.
But anyway, Indiana gets itself to about as good as it could possibly be in the Big Ten East, which was that's the Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan division. They finished like second this one year. They just upset everybody. They got about as far as they could. They went downhill from there. They fired Tom Allen this year and they brought in a guy who has done nothing but win. And they did it in a way to rally a fan base for money so that they can afford to keep themselves afloat and competitive in the Big Ten. And their goal, and this is you brought up Illinois. This is going to be Illinois' goal too. The Illinois and the Indianas and the Purdue's, the Vanderbilts and the Kentuckys of these conferences, Mississippi State, their goal should not be to tell themselves they can win a conference championship and go to a national title. Their goal should just be to be a competitive team that makes a bowl.
Yeah, make money.
Because if you make the revenue for the conference, they're going to be okay with you being okay. And if I'm the athletic director for any of those schools, I am, until they change the rules of bowl eligibility and just let bowls actually pick, because really, that just let them pick. Like, just let them pick whoever. Because, again, the games don't matter.
Right.
Get the best matchups for the television stations because that's what they want. until they change those rules, you schedule the easiest three legit teams you can for your non-con so that you can have a chance to beat mm-hmm. your Indiana, your Nebraska, your Purdue, your Northwestern, your Minnesota's, like those teams that are right there at your level, going to recruit at your level, and you can beat them. Like, that's what you got to do, because then you're going to survive in the Big Ten by making the Pinstripe Bowl in New York,
or
even though it's a shitty bowl.
Or here's the thing, like, and occasionally one of those schools is going to crack top 12 and get mm-hmm. into the playoff and get more money that way. Like,
you hope for that. You hope for bowl stability, because that's program stability with the occasional lifts.
Yeah, like once a decade, you find yourself in the top 12.
Maybe you have a good season every now and again, but like once a decade, you're
once a decade, you're in the playoff. Once a decade, you don't even make a bowl game like that. And the rest of the time, you're in
a crack. And that once a decade is always like, this is a great story. How about those Hawkeyes? Or how about those Illini? Those Commodores? So,
well, it's never going to happen for the Commodores, but yeah, it's going to happen.
But you get my point. You get my
point. Funny story, when I left ASU, because I graduated early to go work at UConn, another school that I applied to was Vanderbilt. And my wife and I often joke that I'm still waiting to hear back from Vanderbilt because I heard back initially and got things set up and then never heard back from them again. So still waiting to hear back from Vanderbilt all these years.
I feel like it turned out okay.
Yeah, I'm all right. I'm all right. And I was excited about that one too. Like, that's Nashville.
No, it's a pretty school.
Still enamored with Nashville. Yeah. But no, I think you're right. It's a really
good strip club I know about in Nashville.
There you go. I think you're right about what's going to happen and how it's going to look. It's going to be very interesting. 10 years from now, 20 years from now, there may not be bowls anymore. Like because you're going to have whatever playoff system you have for these main power conferences. And then you're probably just going to have the ESPN like bowl showcase games that they're just going to put together every year with those leftover teams because they'll take the money and be on television. So it's just crazy to think of where we're going to be. Cause even now, dude, the fact that next year you're going to have teams that play a game at a campus and then the winner gets to go to a bowl game and the loser who normally would have gone to a New Year's Six bowl now goes to nothing. Like, that's just silly to me, to be honest with you.
Right.
And the fact that you're going to win the Rose Bowl for a chance to advance to the Peach Bowl, what the hell does that even mean? Like, it's all really stupid. You're going to have some teams who play in no bowl game because they're like number 12, and other teams who play in two bowl games in the same year. Like, that just makes no sense to me whatsoever. Like, I always thought it should be eight with four bowl games for the first round. Semifinals at the campus sites, because you know I love the college campus, celebrate the college campus, and then the national championship at a neutral site that bids for it. Like, that's my
I just remember something. You still have my college football playoff proposal book? Or did you finally throw that one
out? No, I have it. The death to the BCS.
Yeah, visited you probably the first time I visited you.
No, you said you mailed that to me.
Oh, is that the one I mailed you?
You mailed that one to me.
Did I bring that? I brought that or the, I had that or the Bret Hart book. There was another one that.
I have both of them still.
Well, I have my own copy of the Bret Hart book.
Yeah. No,
that's,
I have.
That's those. Sitting on it.
That was
a fun book until it got thoroughly debunked. Then it was kind of like,
Yeah, well, that's going to happen with wrestling. It's wrestling. Right. I mean, Daniel Bryan Danielson still put in his book that, you know, the main event of WrestleMania 30 was real. So come on. It's what they do. The fans got him into the main event of WrestleMania. And that's actually true. The fans just did it the year before. The fans get everybody into the main event of WrestleMania. Look, let's just be honest. So,
right.
All right, we're going to go to commercial. We're going to come back and we're going to talk about our next topic.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey folks, PC Tony here. Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code CHAIRSHOT. Head to angrylemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save 10%. That's angrylemonade.net.
All right. So Patrick O'Dowd, and this might actually transition into our list this week, but over the past few days, it has become more and more apparent, more and more prevalent in the news cycle that one of your favorite wrestlers from the nation of Japan is going to see his New Japan contract expire in January and possibly make his way over to a promotion in the United States. And we're talking about none other than Kazuchika Okada, who years ago I remember thinking I was all smart by calling him Kazushika. And we all did at some point in our lives, just like Shinsuke Nakamura. It goes back to when I was a kid and there was Kensuke Sasaki. So, yeah, it's all there. Suzuki. I don't fucking know. Just like the great Sasuke, not the great Sasuke. There's a trend with us white people.
Yes.
But his contract expiring, and there's a lot of talk, will he go to AEW? Will he go to WWE? Will he stick with New Japan? And I have thoughts. I know you have thoughts too. What do you think about the potential of what, you know, a year from now, even we'll be talking about the home for one Kazuchika Okada?
Well, he's entertaining all options, right? Like, he's entertaining.
As he should.
I'm going to give the same response I gave when we had this similar conversation with regards to Will Ospreay. Like, I want Okada in the WWE.
Right.
I want to see him work with a Seth Rollins. I want to see him work with a Roman Reigns, if Roman is still wrestling by then. I want to see him with that roster. That's the one that interests me. I think its style is better for his body. I think, you know, I knowing our good friend Triple and the letter H, he is definitely interested and would want to pursue that talent as part of the roster and sees a lot that could be done with him. I'd be interested to see how interested an American audience, a WWE audience, would be in him, or would it be a lot of who, much like Will Ospreay, but there's a little less of a language issue there.
Right.
I think in terms of like where he would get the biggest response and the biggest like pops, at least when he starts, AEW would be the answer there.
Right.
But I see more money making potential in a WWE run, and that could just be my WWE bias, and I'm okay with it. Call me out for it. I think Okada in the WWE would be amazing.
I agree with you, and I think that your bias in this case is going to be correct. Here's the big difference between Okada's situation and Will Ospreay's situation, because they both have some similarities, right? They both live outside of the U.S., and to work for WWE would have
Okada's to Okada's way older, though, right? Like, he's...
You had your chance to talk.
This is how podcasting works sometimes. You think in conversation, and we converse.
I know, but again, you had your chance to talk. Yes, Okada's 36.
I stole your answer. That's what happened.
Yeah, I know. That's exactly what it is. Come on now. We all know this. Okada's 36, and Will Ospreay's 30. So definitely a big difference in age there. And that, to me, is the big difference. Will Ospreay I don't think either of them truly want to relocate to the U.S. Will Ospreay can take a 3-year deal in AEW, and when he's 33, can make the decision to go to WWE and relocate and do all of that. Okada's 36. If he signs a 3-year deal with, say, AEW, now he's there till he's 39 and then looking at coming over to WWE. So I think that his decision is very different. He's got, say they wrestle to the same age, he's got 6 less years to earn that WWE money or AEW money than Will Ospreay does. Now, they make a good living in New Japan, but it's not the same of what they're going to get in WWE. Not only that, right now, you have all these reports that WWE is looking to spend, looking to lock people up into long-term deals and all of that. If he wants to be a special attraction on occasion for New Japan, that would seem to lend itself to him going to AEW. WWE has let talent work in Japan before for different events, and with Vince not being there, I think Triple H could do that. I also think that because New Japan doesn't like WWE all that much, they don't give them footage to use or anything like that very often. But I think the last truly good relationship they had involving a talent was Liger, and that was a while ago because he wrestled, you know, the hell's the guy's name in NXT. The pretty guy. Shit, I can't remember his name now. I'm mad at myself.
You're asking the wrong co-host.
Prince Pretty. He was part of Breezango now. Tyler Breeze. That's who it was. And that was a long ass time ago, obviously. But I do think if they were to sign Okada, he can kind of be that conduit between WWE and New Japan and do some things to repair that. And I could still see him working a Wrestle Kingdom and maybe a Dominion and things like that. Like, this era of WWE seems more likely to allow something like that to happen. So, unlike, you know, AEW, who has to do the Continental Classic just so Daniel Bryan Danielson can get his G1 in before he retires next year. Right. I mean, it's because Tony Khan's an idiot. And completely devalued the Ring of Honor World Championship in the process. But that's a whole other conversation for a whole other time. I think it's easy for me to be like, yeah, I think he's going to go to WWE. I thought the same thing about Will Ospreay, right? I am biased, and we have that bias. But I just look at it through a different lens. But he is 36 years old. Not only that, WWE wants to make inroads into Japan, more inroads, and eventually do the, remember, they did trademark the term global localization. They have talked about having a global NXT, going back to Europe, going into Germany, going into Japan. All of those things are still out there. Someone like Okada could be a great resource for something like that.
That's an ambassador and a half.
That's the you couldn't really get too many bigger ambassadors, at least not of active wrestlers, than Okada. Plus, you have the dream matches that could take place in WWE. Well, Ospreay can do those in 3 years. I don't know if Okada can. So if I were a betting man, I would put that money on Okada showing up in WWE. But in all honesty, and I said this somewhere today, I think it's a pretty even split between all three options for him right now. I think it's a pretty even split between WWE, AEW, and he could re-sign with New Japan. Like, this could all be a negotiating point. Make lots of money. This is a business.
Fair. And he's the rainmaker.
Make lots of money and not have to move. Like, that's the other thing, too. And maybe this contract comes with an office position in the future. Like, he could also be thinking about life after wrestling. And because in New Japan, he could be that legend who works three matches a year until he's in his 60s and is also in the office running things. There's a lot he could do, and he could leverage this for, if he wanted to have his own school, he could leverage this for that. Like, there's so much he could do at this point because of the cachet that he has just being Kazuchika Okada. So I do think that's a world of possibility. He could also sign with WWE, wrestle there for 3 years, and then go back and do that with New Japan anyway. So there's a lot of possibilities out there. But yeah, it could be my bias talking, but I do think he ends up in WWE. We'll find out who's right and who's wrong. Plus, there's that I just hope he doesn't end up in AEW, because where do you fit? Where does anybody fit in AEW anymore?
You were so not interested in that possibility.
I yawned. I still kept yawned trying to talk while I was yawning. Well, I know.
It'll follow a very similar pattern that has happened with just about any big signing. Mm-hmm. They'll get their big reveal. Everybody will go crazy. We'll get their big story arc run to start. And then where will they be after that? It's not Edge. It's Adam Copeland.
Right.
Yeah. After Adam Copeland and Christian are done with whatever they're doing right now, what's next for Adam Copeland?
Sting. Not to wrestle Sting, but he will be in the Sting role. He'll be in the Sting role of not wrestling very often and sitting around. And then again, when the, you know, Meteoric Rise and Inevitable Fall of AEW special comes out on Peacock or wherever the network is at that point, he'll be another one of those voices who wrestled for WWE and then went to AEW, who is going to talk about how poorly it was run. Like, that's going to be the ongoing theme of, it is going to be a Tony Khan smear campaign, except mostly accurate. Like, that's what documentary is going to be when it inevitably
I'm still actually a little defensive of Jeff Jarrett.
I, For a while, he was wrestling the whole time.
I do think that dude, while he was a problem, he was not the problem at the end of WCW.
Yeah.
And man, they really make it sound like he was.
Again, he's like their director of live events, which they don't have. So
right.
They did like, what, 4 house shows and then just completely abandoned that idea? Although I think some of those house shows drew better than some of their TV does now. Like, it's just bad.
Well, I don't know. According to the latest reports from our favorite reporters, in quotes, I'm using a lot of air quotes today, Greg.
You are.
So I call it, like calling the ACC a Power 5 conference.
They're just the 5th Power 5 conference.
No, it's the Big 12 is the 5th Power 5 conference.
Like, no, actually, they're the 4th, and the Big 12. Well, okay, the ACC is 3rd, and Big 12 is 4th, because Pac 12 is 5th.
It's actually the Power 4.
So. No, it's still the Power 5.
Anyway.
As it stands today, the Pac 12 champion gets an automatic berth next year in the college football playoff.
Right. The Pac 12 that doesn't exist right now. Next year.
It still does exist next year. It has 2 years where it can exist with less than 8 members by rule. And that's why they're doing what they're doing, which means they might as well just schedule Oregon State versus Washington State for the weekend after Thanksgiving, because the winner of that should get into the college football playoff by default, even if they're number 12 in the Mountain West schedule. Absolutely. And look, that schedule is just the gateway to them stealing half the Mountain West and a few other schools they're going to keep the Pac-12 alive, because there's like 8 years worth of payments that the conference is due from deferred payments, the way the NCAA tournament, pays out their stuff. It takes years and years.
We'll see what actually happens. That had absolutely nothing to do with what we were talking about. I actually lost track of what we were talking about.
We were talking about Okada. We were talking about Edge and Christian. We were talking about Jeff Jarrett being the director of live events for WWE.
And how the WWE really buried him as if it was his fault that the last year was anything more than a train wreck on all fronts.
When really it was like Vince Russo and AOL Time Warner.
Everything. So, dude, are we going to do a commercial at all on the show?
I did one already.
Are we going to do another one?
We will do a second one, yeah.
I didn't even hear the first commercial.
The last one was 12 minutes ago. We did it. Yeah. And then
really?
Because we finished our college football discussion, went to commercial, came back and talked about Kazuchika Okada.
I definitely wasn't paying attention to you.
You weren't. No, it's okay though.
I was too busy looking at this picture on my phone.
And then we started talking about Okada. And that was a long time ago. That was before the commercial.
I know, but you can't look away. It's like a train wreck.
It is. We'll talk about it. That's my goal for the 3-minute warning. Talk about that picture. We'll see if we get there. Who the hell knows? We probably won't. But AEW and abysmal everything. Everybody's complaining about the fact that Christian Cage is wrestling Adam Copeland tonight, as you're listening to this on Dynamite. Taped on Tuesday. I don't know why they taped Dynamite on Tuesday this week, but they did in Montreal.
Basketball?
Maybe
basketball or hockey.
But it's not live. It's taped airing on Wednesday. So it must be something to do with the arena in Montreal or something like that. I don't know. In my opinion, they're going to still wrestle on pay-per-view at World's End. Like they're going to, even if this match has a winner, like they're going to wrestle on pay-per-view. It's also really funny. Everybody's like, why are they having this title match between Edge or Adam Copeland and Christian Cage on TV? It's for the TNT championship. It's literally named after a TV network. Like, I know it's changed hands on pay-per-view more often recently, but it's basically a glorified TV title that people wouldn't want to say that, because if WWE had a USA Network championship, everyone would be shitting all over it. But because it's AEW, it's TNT championship, and Cody Rhodes came up with it, it's okay. Because we're just like WWE, and Cody Rhodes has to be in every program, just like he was in this one. So there you go. And I love Cody Rhodes, and I'll still complain about it. Do we have anything else to talk about with Okada?
You froze.
Did I froze? You froze too, by the way. So it's okay though.
And then I just heard a weird beeping noise when you came back.
Weird. I heard none of that. What I was asking you was, is there anything left that we need to discuss about Okada?
Just that I think he should go to the WWE, and I hope it happens.
Acknowledge me.
You just made the list.
Then it is time to make the list. For the first time in a long time, Patrick O'Dowd and I are going to sit down, and we're going to make the list. And it wouldn't shock me if the guy we just spent a while talking about ends up on Patrick O'Dowd's list. But I'd be surprised. I'm very surprised that you're shaking your head no, but I feel as though he should make it on your list. This week's list was developed by Patrick O'Dowd like a month ago. Patrick O'Dowd, what is, I know we said it earlier in the show, but what is the list this week?
It's so this all stems from an episode of Bandwagon Nerds where we talked about how David Ungar is uncomfortably attracted to Henry Cavill and how we all have kind of our acting man crushes on Bandwagon Nerds.
We talked about that on this show too.
What's that?
We talked about it on this program.
Right. And so that then led to us deciding to do a list of our wrestling man crushes.
Yeah.
I only made a list of four, by the way, on here.
It's okay.
So I don't, I'm not anticipating any overlap.
Probably not. Probably not any overlap. So I get to go first because this is Patrick O'Dowd's list.
And I'm going to lay it out. These are all wrestlers. I find I'd hit it. I'm attractive.
That's what it needs to be. We can't tiptoe around and look, if you're a homophobe, turn off the podcast.
Turn off the podcast.
Right now. Turn off the podcast because this is not going to be the show for you. And honestly, if you're a homophobe, it's fucking 2023. Get over it.
Right.
Seriously, just get over it. So Patrick O'Dowd, I get to go first. You'll go second. We'll alternate. Then we'll flip it around and you get to put, we put the list in order. You get to go first and I get to go second. So first person we're going to put on the list, probably going to be number two on the overall list. Wrestling man crushes. You know it. I know it. Everybody listening to this program knows it. Number one wrestling man crush is none other than Adam Cole, baby.
Wow. I'm stunned by that revelation.
You would have been more stunned if I didn't put him on the list. That would have been stunning.
Well, you've been highly critical of his, you've been highly critical of his look as of late. So I didn't know if maybe the love had faded.
The love never fades. The love.
That's true. That's fair.
Beauty may fade, but the love does not.
I think you're going to be truly surprised by all of my selections.
Okay.
Like I really do. And surprised in the, you'll be able to see it, but you wouldn't have expected me to articulate it. Okay. And I'm going to go current
all
with
right.
my first one. Because while this dude is not exact, I don't know. He's a good talker. Talks a big game. I love that swagger. That swagger kind of turns me on a little bit. Back in his previous, stops on the wrestling world, when he would, hit buzzers and stuff to cut people off, I was all for it. I liked it. Turned me on a little bit. I want him to talk down to me. I want LA Knight to tell me something. I do.
You mean you want him to talk to you?
I want him to talk to me. Yeah, not let me tell you something, but I want him to talk to me. Yeah.
Yeah.
LA Knight.
I don't have a soundbite for LA Knight. I don't. So it's all good. I think it's a good choice. I think it's a very good choice.
Different things.
I think that, if our friend Heather Lynn was still in the program with us, she would approve of LA Knight being on the list. So Patrick O'Dowd putting LA Knight on the list. My turn. This is a turn that I'm not surrendering to somebody else. I'm not giving it up to somebody else, but it's definitely a tip of the cap to the third person whose name is played during the opening of this program. I also podcast with, who for a long time and who once a year sends me a picture reminding me of a conversation we had back and forth when she sent me a picture that said, my boyfriend is going to beat up your boyfriend. And that was a picture of Adam Cole being stared down by none other than Finn Balor. So I am going to put Finn Balor as my second entrance on the list. Yes, there you go, Miranda Morales. Love you. I am putting Finn Balor on the list. 75% because of you.
It's
because the man accent. Is still a nice man.
It's the accent and his abs. I'll give
I don't even care there. About the abs. The abs are almost too much. The accent definitely.
No. Works. My next pick, the abs are too much.
Okay.
And I was to tell you, I must have a thing for being like emotionally abused when it comes to turn ons because. I want to be called a fat, ugly, out of shape, Massachusetts sweat hog, and I will not be able to keep the noise down while he takes his robe off and shows me what a real man looks is supposed to look like. And then I will hit his music and I will take his robe off and I will look at my face on his tights and I will be proud that they are there. And I will willingly be ravished by one Rick Rude. And just to be clear, I want long-haired, permed Rick Rude. Oh, none of that short hair shit.
Oh, short hair Rick Rude was nice. Don't get me wrong.
It was.
With the beard,
it was.
Yeah.
But I suited up Rude, though. Oh, that was a good look.
Short hair Rude was suited up.
Short hair, suited up Rude. I was getting there. That does it. But I need to see the hips sway, Greg. I need to see the hips sway. And I need to see the robe. Give me Rick Rude, Man Crush number two.
There you go, Man Crush. I like it. I like it a lot. So Patrick O'Dowd, back in like 2018-ish, we birthed something on this program. Why are you laughing?
Just keep going.
We birthed something on this program. When I declared that everybody in the IWC that had this pure hatred for one man, had this pure hatred for one man because look at that man. Look at his hair.
Man.
Look at his, he is not just a, he is a goddamn man. He's a goddamn man. And that man now has grown to demand that you, that I, that everybody do one thing and one thing only.
Acknowledge me.
And up until a week ago, he was going to be my third entry on the list. But he no longer is, Patrick O'Dowd. You know why? Because something happened just over a week ago that altered my list, Patrick O'Dowd. Because now, suddenly, Daddy's home and Daddy's on my list. Randall Keith Orton is my next entry onto the list of Wrestling Man Crush. Because when I was excited about Randy Orton coming back, I was very excited about Randy Orton coming back. Then when I saw Randy Orton come back, then when Randy Orton told Rhea Ripley, mommy this, mommy that, well, guess what, mommy? Daddy's home. I felt some kind of way. And I
let me tell you, this was the closest we came to overlapping.
I thought, honestly, when you started in each time you had your pick, I was like, he might put Orton on the list. And had you, I would have gone with my tribal chief. But instead,
well,
I went with
you
my dad.
I had a list of four.
So he was fourth.
But, Greg, I know we're talking about man crushes, but let's talk about the ladies for a second. When we go to an establishment where young ladies may take their clothes off for money given to them.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I have a preference. Not that you've ever been to such an establishment, but I have a type.
You would never do that.
I have a type.
You do.
I have a type. What type of lady is that?
That would be, I mean, you could classify it as like a Pacific Islander. You could, but I mean, I would narrow it down into more to be Asian.
I mean, really,
if you wanted to get add in the little person aspect to it, but we'll just stick with Asian for this because I don't think you're putting a little person on the list.
When have I ever said anything about little people?
Well, no, you called them midgets because you talked about Asian midget porn. Trust me, I've been there.
Oh, that is not what does it for me. But anyway, Asians, yes. Let's just get there.
We'll leave it there.
And you did suggest that I would have a certain Asian man.
I did. I just had the wrong one.
But believe it or not, that's not the Asian man that I'm picking. It's one of his contemporaries.
Okay.
He is a New Japan Pro Wrestling wrestler. He was long regarded as the franchise, the ace. He has the most beautiful feathered hair you'd ever see. And I love the shoulder pad outfits. I love the bombastic flair. It's flair, Greg. It's the flair. It's the flowing flair, Farrah Fawcett style hair of Hiroshi Tanahashi. that really gets me. It does. That perfectly sculpted abdomen looks like it was molded from God's clay itself. I could get rolled up in that.
Yes, you would. I really didn't think that you know, Tanahashi.
I knew
would be
that would.
Yeah, I expected, even when I was like, is he going to put Sonata on the list? Like, he's because he was close on my list.
Sonata, he's rugged.
Yeah.
He's got a, like,
when he had the beard, especially.
If this was the list of 12 man crushes, Sonata might have.
Yeah. He would have made my list if it was a little longer. He would have.
Naito, because he's a little scummy. Like, he's just, there's a little dirt under those fingernails. Sorry. Definitely. Anyway. We're getting into my whole fetish thing. We need to not. Let's leave Japan now. We're going too far. Roshi Tanahashi.
There you go. So Adam Cole, LA Knight, Finn Balor, Rick Rude, Randy Orton, and Hiroshi Tanahashi. Those are the list that we have an opportunity to pick from. So now we will flip the script. This may be one of those times where we do not steal from each other whatsoever. And this may go chalk.
What order do we put them
in? This might go chalk just the other way around. It might be your order and my order. And that may be how it goes, Patrick O'Dowd. But Patrick goes first. I go second. We put our list of six in order. So Patrick O'Dowd, you get to go first. Who will be number one on our list of wrestling man crushes?
I am tempted to actually steal Randy Orton and put him down.
Steal him. Steal him.
I'm not.
Okay.
Because I want Rick Rude to continue to do dirty things to me. And Rick Rude is my choice for number one today.
I knew you weren't going to go Tanahashi, and I didn't. I wouldn't veto it, but I could not see LA Knight being number one on the list. I just couldn't.
Nah.
I just couldn't.
Nah.
However, number two on the list. Ooh. I'm tempted to not go with who you think I'm going to go with as number two on the list. All three of my choices are actually very, very tempting. But like I said before, true love never fades. I am putting NXT Adam Cole as number two on the list.
And I am putting New Japan Pro Wrestling's perfectly sculpted male model looking piece of fine man, Hiroshi Tanahashi, number
three.
There
you go. So number four.
God's clay, Greg. God's clay.
God's clay. I mean, another, you know, most people on this list were sculpted. That's for damn sure. Look, man, I know I put him on second to last, but I'm going to bump him up. Number four on the list again. Daddy's back. By the way, I think that promo moment wasn't even scripted, but I think he literally stumbled into the next 5 years of his career when he said daddy's back. Like, cause he like you could look at him and he's old enough. He's got the look. And when the beard comes back, though, he actually can't, we joked off air about Apache beard. Like he doesn't even have the full beard, Randy Orton, but like he can pull off the whole daddy thing. And I'm sure by next week, those t-shirts are going to be available. Like they gotta be. Like that's just too freaking brilliant. Randy Orton, number four on the list.
Excellent. Yeah.
Okay. That means LA Knight is fifth on the list, by the way, for anybody who's listening, which means number six. Sorry, Miranda Morales, your boyfriend came in at number six, Finn Balor. So therefore, congratulations to the following six individuals.
You just made the list.
Wrestling Man Crushes, number one, Ravishing Rick Rude, number two, Adam Cole, Bebe, number three, the ace of New Japan, Hiroshi Tanahashi, number four, Daddy's Back, Randy Orton, number five, LA Knight, and number six, Finn Balor. Congratulations to all.
You just made the list.
Those are our Wrestling Man Crushes. Do we have to be like fair next time and do women? Like that seems so cliche. But, like, dude, did we just marginalize them?
We can't even do that because, one, you already know two of my three.
So?
Before we even get started. It's just, I think that's too easy. Like.
You think so?
Yeah, at least not right now. We might have to make a bigger list on that one. Or maybe set some rules. Because, like, yeah, I don't know. There's a lot there. There's
you just
too many
said it to
Asian
me.
Women wrestlers that I got to pick from, too. Like, I don't know. Where do I start? Where does it end? It begins and ends with Sue Young, but, you know, where to go from there.
You just sent it to me, and I got to be fully transparent. I don't even like the Daddy's Back shirt. I think it looks
it's not a good shirt, but cheap and rushed. Certainly,
I was Daddy's like, Back needs to be on the front of the shirt, not like it's just
back like that shit wasn't cranked out instantly, silly rabbit.
Come on now, of course it was. Now I can't get back to the call where I can see you again. Oh, go to call. There we go. It's back. Patrick's back.
Back anyway, again.
Where the hell was I? There we go.
All right, gentlemen, you have 3 minutes and you better make it good.
We got 3 minutes and we're out of here. The clock is ticking and we're in the clear. We got 3 minutes and we're out of here. We got 3 minutes and we're out.
I sent to you, Patrick O'Dowd, a picture. A picture has circulated all over the internet, and that picture is of none other than Maya Lessner, who just broke the shot put record at Colorado State. She is, of course, the daughter of one Brock Lesnar. And it's being passed around the internet for all the wrong reasons. And all I will say is that no one on planet Earth could make a claim that Brock Lesnar is not this woman's father.
This is very true.
100% him. Yes, it looks like Brock Lesnar in a wig, but it's obviously not. But and you know, people, pictures like this bring out the stupid in people. They really do. Like, I've seen some comments out there that are just horrible. I will say this. I will ask you this question, Patrick O'Dowd. And I don't know what Maya Lessner's major is in college. I don't know what her plans are. How does this woman not become a professional wrestler?
She doesn't want to.
Besides that, I leave it to you to ruin a good thing. But she, look at her.
She looks like 1000% she.
And here's my advice to future WrestleMania main eventer Maya Lessner. Don't show up and try to be different than your dad.
Right? Yeah.
Use his theme music, be managed by Paul Heyman, get Jimmy John to sponsor you, and suplex the hell out of people. Like, you're the next mayor, you're the queen of Suplex City. Just suplex everybody. It's fine. Like, just keep it simple. That's the biggest problem that I have sometimes is people try to overcomplicate. You don't watch NXT, right? When was the last time you watched NXT?
The last time you asked me to.
Okay. So you have not, unless you've caught it on social media or seen it anywhere, you have not seen Lola Vice wrestle yet.
No.
Lola Vice is, of course, former MMA fighter Valerie Lareda, went to WWE, is all in on being a pro wrestler. And she's got her NXT name, Lola Vice. She won the NXT Women's Breakout Tournament. And there was some criticism a few years ago that were like, I don't get Lola Vice's gimmick. Is she just has a fat ass and was an MMA fighter? And I'm like, what more do you need? Like, don't overcomplicate things. Like, first of all, she's putting in the time and effort to learn how to work and be a wrestler. And they've paired her with Electra Lopez, who's a veteran pro wrestler. And was a great signing by them and should have gotten called up when Legado del Fantasma did. And hopefully what's going on with Santos Escobar now will lead to her going to the main roster. But I mean, don't overcomplicate things. Like, show up and be Brock Lesnar. Like it's okay. No one is going to okay, some people will criticize you for it because the internet is stupid, but look at their criticism, laugh like your dad would teach you to do, and go cash your checks. Like, that's all you got to do, Maya Lessner. If she wants to be, she will be a major star in the world of professional wrestling. There's I am 100% positive. The only thing standing between her and a lucrative career in a pro wrestler is whether or not she wants to do it. That's it. There's literally no other reason to imagine why this woman doesn't become a huge star in the world of professional wrestling.
Yeah, I mean, 1000%. Like, it's not, as you pointed out, this is not hard.
No.
Like, this one is not hard.
Don't make it any harder than it needs to be. Just don't. Right. Just don't.
Awesome!
Came to
okay.
There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees.
And with that, this episode of The Greg DeMarco Show draws to a close. Go follow Patrick O'Dowd at Wrestling Realist, WRESTLNG. REALIST. Go follow me at Greg DeMarco 44. Follow the website at Chairshot Media. It's in some form, however we get it fixed, thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
You know what we're going to talk about next week?
No idea.
Me neither, because it's next week. Who the hell knows? But until then, we appreciate you listening. We hope you enjoyed our list of wrestling man crushes. Maybe we will do the women. Fuck it. I don't know. We'll figure it out later.
All
but that's
right.
Later.
Sounds good.
Now's now.
I trust you.
You shouldn't. Really.
I mean, I don't.
Of course not. Why would you?
A little less conversation, a little more action, please. All this aggravation ain't satisfaction in me. A little more bite, a little less bark. A little less fight, a little more spark. Close your...
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.